You know, it's wonderful how the Lord works. When I came here this morning, I didn't realize that you had begun a children's talk. And John asked me, would I speak to the children? And he said, if not, he would do it himself, because he has part two of what he said this afternoon. And of course, he pointed out the word sing. And that is exactly what I'm going to preach on this afternoon. So all things do work together for good to those who love the Lord. He spoke about the believer from Matthew's Gospel, one of the verses that they had. If their eye was full of light, then we would have to say, great was that light. In other words, if they knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ, they were on the narrow road that leads to life eternal. But he also read about the other type of light, which is darkness. And of course, if a person is walking in darkness, according to the scriptures, they're not talking about the light of the eye in a way that they can see the things of this world, see God's creation. And of course, it means that if they don't have a spiritual light, they are walking in darkness, whether they accept it or not. And as John read this afternoon, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? In other words, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's either one or the other. You're either on the Lord's side or you're on Satan's side. Now, Satan, of course, is the master of this world. And you'll never win with Satan. He's been around for too long. And you'll never, ever beat him. When he comes and tempts you, he's a master at doing such a thing. And if Satan wants to hold on to you, he will hold on to you. And he hates when a person becomes a believer. When the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, convicts a sinner of their sin, Satan absolutely deplores it. He hates it. If a person is brought from spiritual light, if it's brought from darkness into spiritual light, then Satan absolutely hates it. And now, every one of us gathered here in the house of the Lord, and indeed in every church throughout the world, in the different countries, they're all walking in one type of light or the other. They're walking in the light of light, if I can put it in that way, or they're walking in darkness. Oh yes, they may see the physical things with their physical eye. They may see the things of this world. But if they're not a Christian, if they're not born again of the Spirit of God, if they've never come to the cross and acknowledge Jesus as their Savior and as the Son of God who suffered, bled, died for them on that cross at Calvary, yes, they may see physically, but they are a child of the devil. And there's no ifs or buts about that. The devil has them in the grasp of his hand. And the only way they'll ever be taken out of that grasp, out of the devil's hand, is if the Lord, in his mercy, will reveal himself to them, show them that he was the one who suffered, bled, died on the cross at Calvary for their sins. That's the only way they'll ever be released. If the sinner recognizes that he's a sinner and that he has sinned against God. from the day of his birth right through to the day of his death. And you know, when we were born, whether we're a Christian or a non-Christian, whether we love the Lord and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in the true spiritual sense, or whether the person, anyone here is not a Christian and they're grasped in the devil's hand, when we were born, we were born at the right time, at the right period of time, and there was no mistake. It was all planned in the far-flung ages of eternity. But not only was the day of our birth planned in the far-flung ages of eternity, so is the day of our death. And we will not die until the Lord chooses to call his children home to be with himself, where they will go to glory. But that is in God's power. That is in God's hands. And when you look at the Old Testament and the Old Testament saints and those who didn't know and love the Lord, they only died when the Lord chose them to die. And our death has already been planned by God in the far-flung ages of eternity, even before we were born. God chose us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Now let me ask you a question this afternoon. And you have to answer it one way or another. Are you serving God or mammon? Are you hungry after the treasures of this world, which when you come to die, you will not be able to take them out of this world with you? They'll either perish or they'll be handed down to another relative who will not be able to take them with them when they come to die. Or when you die, when God chooses to take you home to be with yourself, are you laying treasures up for yourself in heaven, where thieves cannot break through and steal? We're either laying treasures up for ourselves in this world that will perish one day and be no more. And these treasures may be the means that we've never come to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when we hear the gospel preached, even when someone tells us or tells them that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose again to give them life eternal. Well, they might not believe it, but that doesn't make any difference. It still stands sure. It's still true. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died for our sins on the cross at Calvary. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And I have to remind you this afternoon that coffins come in all sizes. When I was converted, just before I was converted and came to the Lord 51 years ago, I nearly died. And I tell you this because death almost came knocking at my door. I was 17 years of age at the time, and it was coming up to Christmas and coming up to what they call in Scotland Hogmanay, or New Year's Eve if you like, where the Scots go out and visit their relatives and try and get the most alcoholic drinks and the most food after 12 o'clock, after midnight. And they pick and choose their relatives where they'll get the most drink and the most food. And it still goes on. I'm not so sure it goes on as much as it used to. And I was just like that. I was boasting. You see, young man, 17, I was boasting. Wherever I get the most drink, wherever I get the most food. But the Lord had other plans for me. I never saw that new year coming. I became seriously ill, and I mean seriously ill. And it took 10 weeks in the hospital at Inverness, where I was born, before I was able to open mine eyes. And even the consultant said, then he said, I'm your consultant, and I even give you up. He says, I never even dreamt that you would survive because I lost so much blood. But the point is, God had other plans for my life. My time in God's eyes had not yet come. God, through His Son, whom He sent into the world to suffer, to bleed, and die on the cross at Calvary for our sins, and rise again, this Savior, this Jesus, whom I wanted nothing to do with, God opened my eyes and showed me that this man, Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world, suffered, bled, died for my sins on the cross at Calvary. And when I became a Christian, I didn't only see what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for me. I didn't only see the suffering that He went through, though I saw that in the spiritual sense. I saw the love that God had for me, a hell-deserving sinner. And He brought me to Himself. And that was over 51 years ago. Now the point is, if I died in that hospital bed, I would have gone to hell. My soul would have been lost forever. I would have none hope at all if Satan had his way. But of course God had His way, and God is more powerful than Satan will ever be. And God gloriously saved me. But as I say, coffins come in all sizes. When I was converted, I got a text of Scripture. Some of you have heard this text before. And it was this. It was from Proverbs 27 verse 1. And I didn't fully understand it then, but I do now, and thank God for that. And it was this: boast. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here was I, boasting where I was going to get the most drink, where I was going to get the most food on New Year's Eve, instead of boasting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I can boast in Him. Now I know I hunger and thirst after Him every day. But let's not forget that coffins come in all sizes. We should not boast about tomorrow. Never boast about tomorrow. As I said this morning, live one day at a time, because that's the time that God gives to us, day by day. We don't know if we're going to see tomorrow. A young friend of mine who was a young Christian, just coming out of his teens, a very good friend of mine, and he went to the swimming pool at Inverness, came out of the swimming pool, young Andrew was his name, got on his lightweight moped, just started it up, moved along, and a big truck came along, hit Andrew, tossed him in the air, he landed on the ground, called for the ambulance. The ambulance, unknown to the ambulance men, he didn't realize that Andrew's rib had broken. And when they picked him up, the point of the rib went into his lung, and that killed him. But Andrew did not know that when he went to that swimming pool on that particular day, that coming out, suddenly he was going to find himself, his spirit was going to find himself in glory. In glory. It was to the Lord's appointed time to take Andrew home to be with himself. Listen, we cannot serve God and mammon. We either serve the devil of this world, who has control of this world, or we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom God sent into the world to suffer, to bleed, to die a cruel and wicked death on the cross at Calvary. And God cannot look upon sin in any shape or form. What was it that the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross at Calvary? One of his favorite sayings, one of his sayings was this: after the Father had forsaken the Son for a short period of time, why did God the Father forsake his Son? Because God cannot look upon sin in any shape or form, large, small, or whatever it is, he cannot look upon it. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because God the Father couldn't look upon sin. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was suffering and bleeding and dying for man's sin. And then shortly after that saying, the Lord Jesus Christ, I think this is a wonderful saying, it is finished. The price for man's sin is finished. It's complete. The Old Testament sacrifices that were offered could not save a man or a woman's sin. They had to offer the sacrifices time after time after time. But the Lord Jesus Christ died for sin once and for all. It's finished. There's no other offering for sin but the blood that was spilt on the cross at Calvary. Now, is there anyone here this afternoon serving God, walking in all his ways, or serving the devil? Is there anyone here this afternoon who doesn't know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can't work for your salvation. You can't pay for your salvation. There's nothing you can do but to put your trust and acknowledge that you're a sinner and that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for your sins and rose again to give you life eternal. And the Lord will hear your prayer if you confess your sin and that you cannot save yourself. The Lord will hear your prayer. And he'll gloriously and he'll marvelously save your soul from going to hell. Because if you're serving and hungering and investing in the things of this world and you've got no time for God, you don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for your sins, well, I tell you, my friend, you're in for the greatest shock that you'll ever experience when you die. Because your spirit, until the Lord comes back again and gives us you a new body, your spirit will go directly to hell. And on the day of judgment, where will your earthly treasures be? You can't take them with you. So let me ask you again, are you serving God or mammon? Are you investing in the things of this world? Or, a born-again believer, we should be investing in the things of glory, the things of heaven. Now, there's nothing wrong with a Christian having riches. Because if there was, you would have to get rid of Abraham and David and Solomon and so on. There's nothing wrong with a believer having riches. But, be careful. Because Satan's going to run like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you start resting on your riches, you're going down a very, very dangerous path, because Satan knows you. Satan knows you, and Satan will attack you at your weakest point. But as I say, are we laying treasures up in heaven where thieves cannot break through and steal? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, said the angel to Mary, because he shall save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. He's the good shepherd who loves his sheep, cares for his sheep, provides for his sheep. He's Alpha, he's Omega, the first and the last. There isn't going to be anyone else to come into this world to die for men's sins ever again. It's finished once and for all. I am the door. If any man opens the door, knocks, I will come, open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. What was it the Lord Jesus Christ said? And this is a tremendous study if you ever have the time. It's a tremendous study. Jesus said time and time and time again, I am. I am. I am the first. I am the last. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am who I am. He said to Moses, I am. What was it the Lord Jesus Christ said about himself? I am the light of the world. All those who walk with me will be with me in glory. Father, I pray that those whom thou hast given me shall be with me in glory. I have gone to prepare a place for you in that mansion above. And when you die, you will go directly to be with me in glory forever and forever. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and we're given our new bodies, we'll be with him forever in Emmanuel's land. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. He cares for his sheep. He loves his sheep. He guides his sheep. Or there may be those who will come up through the back door. But when the wolf would come, he said, then they'll flee. The hireling will flee. But I am the good shepherd, and I will take care of my sheep, and I will lay down my life for the sheep, for you and for me. And that's what he did on the cross at Calvary. Now, if an unbeliever does not believe that, and then won't believe it, and they ridicule it completely, it doesn't make one iota of a difference. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to suffer, to bleed, to die on the cross at Calvary for our sins. And he rose again to give us everlasting life. If the Lord Jesus Christ only died, we would be still in our sins. But he rose again. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. There's none other. And now, he tells us there was two roads. The narrow road that leads to heaven and to glory, and the wide road that leads to hell. There's many on the wide road, and they're all falling one after another. But there's only a few on the narrow road, and they have to go through a turnstile like they do in the London Underground, where you can only go through one at a time. There's only a few on that road, as the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us. But here's the point. We're not alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is going ahead of us. And so when the day comes and God chooses, and he will choose one day to take us home to be with himself, when we die, then we'll go to be with him in glory. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they followed the Lord with every part of their being when they were in bondage in Babylon, and the king wanted to put them in the burning fire. And not only were they to be put into the burning furnace, he told his people to raise the temperature 7 times hotter than normal. And that's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was going to go. And they said this to the king: whether we will survive or not, we will not bow down to you under no circumstances. And of course, we know what happened. They were put into the furnace. They weren't burnt. In fact, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ's pre-incarnate state was with them, and they were delivered from the fiery furnace. Now why? Because God, in his love and mercy for these three young men, their time was not yet to die. Oh yes, they were born to die, but the time for them to die had not yet come. Daniel in the lion's den. You had a classic example of that. Here's Daniel with all these lions, man-eating lions, would eat anyone who went into the den. And if Daniel had a good relationship with the ruler of Babylon at this time, but there were those who were against Daniel because he prayed 3 times a day when the king had banned anyone from praying to their God. They had to obey the king. So the king signed the document, and Daniel was put into the lion's den. The king came to see if the Lord delivered, Daniel's Lord delivered them. And of course we know the story. We've heard it since we were children. Yes, there was Daniel with a lion sitting around him just like little kittens. That didn't harm him. Why? Because Daniel's time to die has not yet come. Our times are in God's hands. And let me ask you in closing, are we laying treasures up for ourselves in this world? I can understand an unbeliever doing it, but I can't for the life of me understand Christians hungry and thirsting after the things of this world. They must have this, they must have that. And sad to say, history proves it, many Christians have gone back from serving the Lord because they sought after the things of this world, which they could not take with them when they left heavens, when they left this earth and went into eternity. You cannot, under no circumstances, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's a total impossibility. You're either serving God, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the world is serving Satan, the master of this world, which one day will lead lost souls into the lake of fire that shall never, 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 never be put out. What a day. What a day for someone to go out of this world not knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a great day it will be for you and I when we go out of this world and we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and bled and died for us. What a day it will be to look on his face and to say, I'm only a sinner. A sinner saved by grace. And the question as I close is this. The unconverted in the day of judgment will hear the Lord say to them, depart from me. What words they will be. What words. Depart from me, I never knew you. But to the believer he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he'll remind his servants what they've done. And they'll say, but when did we do that? When did we visit you in prison? When did we visit the sick? As long as you've done it one to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Enter now in to the joy of the Lord. Remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and many churches would have thought, this is wonderful, this is fantastic, this young man's coming. And he asked the Lord questions. Well, at least the Lord asked him questions. And he said, but all these things I've kept from my youth up. Oh, well done, says the Lord. Now go and sell all that you have. Give your money to the poor. Help the poor. Because he was very rich. But he went away. He went away. Because his riches choked him in this world. We never hear of him again. And as far as we know, when he died, he went straight to hell. Lay treasures up for yourselves in heaven. And the Lord will bless you and be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.